Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only, exclusions apply. ebaymotors.com.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99 cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
What's up, you guys? Sean Ross Sapp, Fightful.com. It is January 7th, 2022. This is the Fightful post-show review for SmackDown and AEW Rampage. I almost said Raw, but I cut myself off. But I could have just said Rampage like that.
I think it's because if you're not calling me Denise, you're saying it's Raw. I get
That's
it, Sean.
True.
I get
That's
it.
That's true. That's true. New 50,000 follower Twitter account, Denise Salcedo.
Well, I'm closing in on 5,000. There you go. So, guys, just 95,000 more, and I'm, like, almost catching Sean.
Guys, this show brought to you by manscaped.com/Fightful. Please show them some love, even if it is just heading over there, tweeting them, saying, Fightful told us about you. We have had so much stuff this week, and I really mean just so much stuff. I'm going to break up the plugs, don't worry. But our shows this week and this weekend, we covered day one. Denise had a Wrestle Kingdom review. We had a New Year's Evil post show. There were extra episodes of Sour Graps on Fightful Select with Kate and Alex. We have done just an incredible amount of stuff. And then on Saturday, if you liked Grapsity last week, which I really encourage you guys to check out, they covered the Tony Khan tweet, the Big Swole podcast. Captain Sean Dean popped up. Baron Black popped up. You're going to love that show again on Saturday. But that's not the only show on Saturday. We got three. Battle of the Belts at 9. And then after Impact Hard to Kill, we got Denise Salcedo, Steven Jensen. I might pop in there too because I already know I'm going to have some exclusive information for you guys. But you know what? If you want exclusive information, Fightful Select is where to go. We've been dropping news all week. You know, maybe that Jeff Hardy was supposed to be the shaman in NXT. Unfortunately, we broke the news of an awful lot of NXT layoffs, and we have just a remarkable amount of backstage news on Kairi Sane possibly leaving WWE contract, of Samoa Joe not being in WWE anymore. I'll give you the full plug later on, but we also had interviews with Bron Breakker, Chelsea Green, Gail Kim, and the undefeated Stephen Macklin. Holy cow. Jesus Howard Christ. It's been a busy week, and I'm so excited. And I'm excited for you guys to leave a thumbs up, donate a super chat, or a humper chat. That gets your question or statement read on the air. We greatly appreciate it. And please show these shows on Saturday some love as well. I'll be popping in. If there's anything like behind the scenes you want to know for Hard to Kill, I'll be feeding them information as well. Oh, Kate, it's been a busy week. It's been the last 7 days have been some of the craziest 7 days like I've ever covered.
I can't believe it's only January 7th. I feel like so much of the rest of like the end of last year, especially flew. And this time I'm like, oh my gosh, what a jam-packed 7 days we've had. You know what I was thinking about as you were saying, send in your humper chats, like our listeners don't have flaccid swords, so they can do things like send in humper chats. I'm very happy about that. Yeah. So
I think this isn't often, but we should probably start by covering SmackDown. I thought there was some very newsworthy stuff on SmackDown tonight. But we have a humper chat from Alicia Ellis saying off topic, but did you see Antonio Brown's tweet of his side of the story? Yeah, honestly, I think the NFL should personally, like, they should investigate this situation, because I think you have two very plausible things, and that's about as far as I'll get into that, because I don't know what the hell happened there. But
I mean, a Steelers fan, I do think that Mike Tomlin deserves way more credit for managing Antonio Brown than he got for as long as he did, because there have been quite a few instances like that. Like, and, when
I can tell you as a Bengals fan, like, you had a lot of those personalities that had been troubled early on, and you had Vontaze Burfict, you had Pac-Man Jones, these people who were given multiple chances, and then it all unraveled at the worst possible time in the playoffs against the Steelers, like, which I'm sure you remember.
I do.
At the worst possible time, like, you have to have somebody that can, these are supremely athletic people who are also super, super rich, and like, there's a lot of factors there, but
there's a lot happening there. And I just think if you basically burning your feet off in a cryo tank isn't even in like the top 10 of the craziest things that you've done, you're living like a pretty colorful and eventful life.
Oh, guys, we got so much to talk about tonight. Get in your super chats, get in your humper chats. I want to thank you guys again. This show brought to you by manscaped.com, code Fightful. Show them some love. But my God, Brock Lesnar, Roman Reigns kicked off this show. Evangelina Gray says, I knew this was a love triangle. Paul just wants to be loved.
Don't we all? Oh.
Yeah. Roman Reigns is out. Brock Lesnar is out. Paul Heyman is out. So this was very, very, very interesting. Paul Heyman is not shy about his affection for Roman Reigns at all. He's like, I loved you. You mistreated me. And Brock Lesnar's like, pardon me? Pardon me? What's going on here?
I loved so much about this. First of all, Brock does a fantastic Paul Heyman impression. I did not know he had that in him. That was so fantastic.
Brock, for those that missed it, sorry to cut you off. Brock introduced himself in the style of Paul Heyman. And it sounded great, Kate.
It sounded just like him. I was so impressed. And again, as someone who got into wrestling later, in like the 2009 time, this has been my favorite Brock, because the last few versions of him, I think, kind of assumed that you knew who Brock was already, how dominant he was already. I felt like things got redundant. Seeing his charisma shine through in these angles, I think, is so fun. I know there were some people that came out of this wondering who was face and who was heel. I think you said that you don't care. I don't care either. I do feel like it's still pretty clear that that Roman is the heel here, because I think his love for Paul Heyman was just a way to kind of catch Brock off guard and catch him maybe sleeping on him a little bit. It was more of a way to goat the two of them into being misled, and I don't think it was from a sincere place with Roman. So I just really like this. I was waiting for something to move along with this angle. I don't really love the title versus title part of it, but I really, really liked this particular segment. And I love Paul Heyman does so many things right. And one of those is his intonation and his speech patterns in this, where he was sounding like me as a 16-year-old talking to her boyfriend. It was so like, but I love you, and then this, and then that, and then that. I didn't really sound like that, but that was kind of like what he was going for, I feel like, where Roman has that like gravelly voice and Brock is this hilarious, dominant, huge, incredible dude. And Paul just had this very waffly, I got caught thing.
Hannah says, Paul on a pole.
Paul on a pole, baby.
And I got to put over Brock Lesnar's promo skills here. I thought he did really well. And I mean, a lot of people just have this misconception that he's just been bad on the mic before. Within the first few weeks of him coming back to WWE after 8 years gone, he said, get me Paul Heyman. And they said, okay, we'll do that for you, Brock, whatever you say. in the UFC, he was like the best promo going at the time. Like he and Chael Sonnen, he was just a remarkably fun guy to listen to. And he is naturally charismatic. That is the case. It's just, he's been standing next to Paul Heyman for a decade, who's one of the best promos of all time. And Brock wants the title versus title match. Roman, not that interested in it. And he says, it's a good idea, but it's not my idea. And this is my show. That seems like a very Vince thing. Like maybe not sure something does. He says out loud, but it seems like a very Vince thing.
Yes, I really liked that. And one thing I also appreciated about this segment was there is a little bit of cheesiness to someone saying, acknowledge me over and over again when they have three segments. And I just really liked Brock poking fun at that a little bit because it works for Roman. He delivers it very well. But at the end of the day, no one talks like that. Nobody says, acknowledge me on a regular basis. So I just appreciated that too. Like, let's dig into Roman a little bit. So much of this has been about Paul Heyman. So much of this has been about the idea of the bloodline. Like, they faced each other so many times. It's nice to see them be able to bring fresh and new things to the surface here. And I think we knew it was going to get to a love triangle with Paul Heyman at some point. But I really liked this, and I was waiting for this to move somewhere, and I'm glad it is now.
Bezos says, Paul, as we me with my exes, I felt quite attacked. Well, speaking of exes, we're told Roman Reigns is going to find out who his Royal Rumble opponent is. And at the end of the night, we're just going to go ahead and cover this now. Seth Rollins walks into his locker room and laughs in his face. Now, I'm told this match isn't official yet, but it's going to be. And I don't know how I feel about this, Kate. Am I intrigued by the match? Of course I'm intrigued by the match. However, this just annoys me on so many levels. First off, Seth Rollins is on Raw.
Ding, ding, ding.
Second off, Seth Rollins just lost a top contender match for that title on Monday. Beyond that, he lost a world title match on the pay-per-view this past week. I don't get it. Now, I don't understand. Now, if they want to make good on this, Kate, I think there's a way. I think it is Adam Pearce and Sonya Deville saying, well, this guy was supposed to get a one-on-one title shot, and we didn't think that was fair to him, and this is our way to make up for that. I would buy that. I would buy the fact that to keep the Rollins and Lynch household happy, they said, okay, Seth, you didn't get a fair shake against this situation with Big E, so we're going to give you that opportunity at the Royal Rumble. And I think that would be okay. Just give me a reason. That's all I need.
Here's my issue. They're not going to do that. And my other issue is I hate that they make such a big deal out of the brand split. And then to your point.
Hold on. Also, I almost forgot. Seth Rollins knocking on the door to the Shield theme was amazing.
So great. So great. Absolutely loved it. So similarly, like, my issue is not with Seth and Roman necessarily, because there's such a great story there, right? Like, they have this huge, extensive, long history. My issue is the fact that he is on Raw. They make a huge deal of the brand split and then they completely ignore it. And why would you not have the spot set aside for an NXT call-up? I think that could be really cool if you saw your NXT champion, the new one, move up here. I think Ciampa would be a great move as well. I also think Big E, to me, is so logical because he just was champion, so he's already immediately feeling important. It doesn't look like they're going to run that back with Brock. And then you have the New Day on the same brand again. Like, if you're going to break the rules of your brand, why not do it at least for a freaking reason? Because I can't just watch the New Days and the Usos like every episode, except for that I can't.
Neither can Macaulay Culkin, apparently.
Well,
did you see that?
I mean, he's home alone. He doesn't know what to do.
Did you see that? Did you see where Macaulay, he was like, I'm getting tired of watching the Usos and New Day.
And we were like, oh my gosh, dude. This is
Mark
your
Losper
season.
Says, nice segment aside, I would still rather watch grass grow than for these two to headline WrestleMania again. To me, I mean, yeah, I don't want it to be title for title, but babyface Brock and heel Roman is the one I've always wanted. Better late than never, I guess. But
well, good for them. They can main event night four of a buy one, get one WrestleMania. Come on. Come on.
Fact Channel says Kate's bangs are better than SmackDown. She does have good bangs.
Thank you.
And Mark Losper says, you nearly called SmackDown Raw. Sounds like it may have been apt, some of the things that happened on the show. Oh, for sure, buddy. Now, if you guys want to keep talking about Reigns Lesnar, that's understandable. We'll go back and forth throughout the show. It's okay. Anthony Velasquez says, just how shows how slim the SmackDown roster is right now. They had to bring a Raw superstar over to SmackDown, so Roman has a challenger for the Rumble. Well, this is just my hunch. By the way, your mic is rubbing. I think this would have been Jeff Hardy is what I think. I think it would have been Jeff Hardy. And somebody was asking me on my Q&A show, which airs every week on FightfulSelect.com. Subscribe today. I asked,
Sean, we're not all millionaires. We can't just go around subscribing to Fightful Select for $1,000 a month.
Do you have 16 cents a day?
Why, I think I do.
Well, okay, you know what? Then you can afford Fightful Select. $5 a month. I do a Q&A show every week, and people said, well, who is going to slide into the Drew spot creatively? And I was like, well, I think it was meant to be, personally, I think it was meant to be Jeff and Roman, and then it was going to be Drew and Jeff. So I think those plans kind of canceled each other out, and then they slid Rollins in here. Go ahead.
Why can't it be Kofi Kingston and Xavier Woods as individuals?
It could be. And I think it probably should be. I think like they probably, yeah.
Having your top face your top heel. I know that sounds crazy, yeah. But like,
I agree.
Do it.
I agree. Mark Losper says, think about how big that members of the Shield facing each other could have been at some point. Now we're getting it as a random throwaway that we 1,000,000,000% know Seth is going to get destroyed in. I fully think that the Shield should have main evented at WrestleMania, and I wish they would have done that. They had several years to do that. But
well, they've had several. Seth at Fightful has mentioned that like they missed that opportunity with with the Shield, but they still have that as a fatal four-way with the women, with the four horsewomen to do that. So I hope they take advantage of that and learn from their mistake. They're not great at learning from their mistakes all the time, however.
Well, Johnny Knoxville was at SmackDown, and Sammy's like, LOL, you're in the Rumble, as if. And then Sammy faced Rick Boogs, which is weird because he qualified for the Royal Rumble. Or not qualified for the Royal Rumble. He became top contender to the Intercontinental title. For some reason, Rick Boogs is beating the top contender to the Intercontinental title. So not only does that title not get defended, like ever, now the top contender for that title is getting beaten by the champion's lackey. I don't see a possible benefit that this has at all. Like, Shinsuke Nakamura has not defended this title since like September on TV. What the hell is going on?
This booking just made no sense. So
it's trash.
It is trash. Thank you for saying that. That is what it is. It is Oscar the Grouch in a trash can. I'm the Grouch. This match and the booking specifically is trash. You know, Boogs, I don't like the gimmick. I don't like his guitar. It was out of tune tonight, which is stupid. And that like suplex thing he did while he was on his knees was one of the coolest things ever. I loved that, but I just don't understand why they're like, hey, you lost. You should probably move up in the title picture. The same thing happened on Raw with Doudrop. Like, you lost to Bianca Belair three times. You deserve to be in the title picture. It's just weird.
With Bianca Belair as well.
Yeah, exactly.
Johnny Knoxville shows up and tosses Sammy over the top rope, and they say, he's now qualified for the Rumble, which I thought was objectively hilarious, because now I want that to be how everybody qualifies for the Rumble, women included. Throwing Sami Zayn over top of literally anything seems like my 24/7 championship. That's what I want. I want Sami Zayn just walking through Dallas this weekend, and he happens to go by the Hard to Kill arena, and Mickey James just tosses him over the top rope. That's what happens.
Okay, I love that idea. Happen. When people were talking about this on Twitter, I thought you initially had meant, like, to qualify, you have to just throw somebody over the top rope and their 2 feet hit the floor. I love that it's specifically Sami Zayn all of the time. That's fantastic.
Like, he's on Raw, and he keeps getting thrown over stuff. And they're like, why'd you even come here? You're not on this show. But he doesn't have an answer.
He has no answer. He and Kevin Owens being, like, shoot friends. Like, Kevin Owens just throws him out of the car or something somehow. Like, I quite enjoy that idea. But even this, like, I get the reason why. It was because you want Knoxville to be there and in the Royal Rumble. But I'm like, why are you making Sami Zayn, who's going to compete for the IC title, look so stupid? He can't even not get thrown over the top ropes by someone who's literally known for a show called Jackass. Like, I love Sammy, and I feel like he's the type of guy who, even in a world where wins and losses don't matter, like, if they did matter, he could still be a guy that eats a lot of L's and is okay. Like, I feel that way about Eddie Kingston. He doesn't need a ton of wins.
Yeah.
Walter wants cave in Knoxville's chest.
Raphael wants Walter to cave in Knoxville's chest. Yes, I would be fine with that. Yes. I would love that. Definitely. Mark Losper says, if WWE Apple Cart can be completely upended by one guy getting COVID and another guy walking out while having the greatest roster on the planet at one point, they deserve all the booking problems they stuck with. Well, buddy, if you remember at SummerSlam 2021, way back then, somebody was sidelined and they booked Bianca Belair to lose in about 5 seconds. And there you go.
I get booking challenges, but they don't go to the next logical option. Like, it's not, there's nothing in the hierarchy.
Your mic is rubbing again. Love of God.
I don't even know what it's rubbing against.
Up against your hoodie, for the love of God. Those mics are the most trash.
Why are they so sensitive? Why are you so sensitive? Are you Paul Heyman?
You sound great right now, though.
Okay, well, then I'll just hold it out here and life will continue and be beautiful and wonderful.
Oh, my gosh. Well, you know, your mic isn't right where you're holding it, right?
But it's now away from my hoodie, okay, sure. Sean.
Sure.
We don't all have sick University of Kentucky pullovers. Not everyone here does, okay?
Well, I've got a microphone hooked up.
Kate. All right, fancy all pants, right. Relax. You told me to get earbuds.
Nerd. I didn't tell you to use it as a microphone.
I know, but now mic stand is broken.
I said you could get earbuds because that way you weren't listening through your speakers and we didn't get an echo.
Yeah, but you know what happened when I listened through my big old cans? I could hear my microphone.
Gotta turn that off. Nerd Guru says, NXT 2.0, Mr. Walter, terrifies me in a very bad way. And Raw F Showtime says, if the rumors that Rollins was supposed to win the title at day one are true, they could get back to exactly where they wanted to be on the road to WrestleMania by moving the Universal title to Raw with Rollins at the Rumble. Well, I can tell you this, Fightful Select reported this week that talent were not told who was going to win that match before the Brock Lesnar thing. So,
Sean, I can't subscribe to Fightful Select even for 50 cents a day.
Muted. It's $5. Happy talk. Baron Corbin's out there.
Have to talk about this?
Yeah, because I got some backstage news, which, I mean, they broke here. Drew's getting checked out next week is what I've heard. This is an injury he's had legitimately since 2016. I know some people were like, oh, my God, Corbin and Moss really hurt him. No, they didn't. I was told that and we reported this on FightfulSelect.com. Please subscribe. But I reported that this was the length of the match at day one. And the attack, I was told, was to make Madcap Moss look strong in McIntyre's absence. To which I replied, wouldn't him winning matches before this have made him look strong? And I got ghosted on that one. But
Or, I don't know, him doing something other than telling fucking dad jokes might also help someone look strong.
They're like, here comes Drew McIntyre. And it's Riddick Moss dressed up as Drew McIntyre. They have a match with the Viking Raiders, who are now just guys. They are so far off the radar. This is heartbreaking and a bummer to me. When they came to WWE, this is like when Gallows and Anderson are there and FTR are there and the New Day are just killing it there and the Usos are there. And I'm like, hell yeah, man. They're going to look at this and then they're going to go tag team wrestling. Let's make it an attraction. Let's do it. Nope. Nope. No. It is the Viking Raiders getting pinned by Madcap Moss doing a frontwards moving neck breaker. Fine move. Too bad it took me 4.5 months of this act to actually see it. I hated this segment. I hated the booking. I didn't even like the match. I was just bummed out.
No, there was only one thing that I liked in it, and that was anytime a guy picks up a guy and throws them into another guy, I'm impressed by that, sure. Especially when the guy getting picked up is like 3 times the size of the lifting guy. So that was really, really cool to me. I liked that spot. The booking is depressing. Don't ever show Vince McMahon you're funny because this is what happens. I'm very scared for Matt Riddle's future because he showed him that he's funny. The first match I ever saw of the Viking Raiders was them leaving ROH versus Coast to Coast, and it was so cool. And I watched them all the way through NXT, and they were great. And then they were the Viking Experience, and I don't know if they've ever recovered since then. And they're such a good tag team, and they work so well, especially for guys of their size. And I don't know, it might be cool to see the SmackDown Tag Team Champs face someone other than the New Day. You could position them through booking and not, I don't know, singing Shinsuke Nakamura's theme and pounding their chests and participating in matches like this. It's such a disservice to what they're able to do.
CM says, there's an alternate universe where we have War Raiders facing Young Bucks, FTR, Proud and Powerful Lucha Brothers. Maybe that that exists again one day. 69 Names Deegan says, you could say they fell off the radar. God damn.
That is a better joke than anything Madcap Moss has ever said. That is fantastic, and I love it.
But look at her shirt. The King Senpai Dong Lord shirt. Oh. Now available at shop.fightful.com. ShotKid29 says, that one's for later. That's my bad. Tom Brady says, any word on Walter moving up after Walter's last stand was announced? That's the assumption.
Man, I didn't like that match, though. They took all the Walterness away.
Cadillac Carson says, I would have lost my mind if Strowman showed up at the end of SmackDown and said, I'm still not finished with you. That's the way you bring him back. I reported today he has signed to go over to Qatar Pro Wrestling. He's going to do one of those tours. They brought on a bunch of big names. So that's another scoop from FightfulSelect.com. Isaiah Berry says, Viking Raiders deserve so much more. Yeah, and said they got crappy comedy segments. Well, New Day lost to the Usos again. I'm not sure why this match happened. It sounded like I was about to call you Denise.
I wasn't. You could call me a lot worse than Denise, I'll say.
I was trying to say something about day one, but I stuttered. They lost at day one. So why again? The match is fine. That's never the issue. Why do you book this? Not only that, legitimately, Macaulay freaking Culkin, of all things, was on Freddie Prinze Jr.'s show today, and he's like, I'm so sick of this over and over again. I love him, but I'm so sick of him. It's so just like uninspired, Kate.
Uninspired's a good word because I had said on the Sour Grapes Extended Edition, which you can watch on FightfulSelect.com, that I'm rooting for them to phone in it at this point because that's the only way the storyline is going to end. They keep putting on incredible matches, so they keep booking it. This, to me, was the first one, and it was still a great match, but where I feel like the well ran dry. I didn't see anything crazy or new or the same like details that you could normally find in their storytelling because there's simply nothing left. Like there was no motivation for this match to be happening other than the fact that they're both really, really good tag teams, which just isn't a lot of times that is enough. When you face each other this many times, it's not enough anymore. So I don't get it. You have so many people in catering that you could go call on. Yeah. I, It was good. It was a good match. It's always at minimum, it's a good match all the time. The 1D thing is cool.
That's what I wanted to mention. They've renamed the 3D, the 1D, the one and done. It seems like Bully Ray's fine with that. No heat with him. But I also love that they have adopted tables. Now, I don't know how Bully Ray will feel about that. Like, that's taken a lot of their thing. But you know what? I'm good with that. But that's going to make the Usos baby faces. They're going to get over as baby faces by doing the tables thing. And sure. Mark Losper says, if I had the choice between putting Madcap Moss on TV or the human race getting enslaved by aliens, I would welcome our new alien overlords.
I would just want to clarify, by the way, that Mark Losper and Shibugan are the same. So when you're tallying up his top donations for the month of him trying to buy us extra time.
Don't think I even need to tally him at this point.
wonderfully supportive, sincerely. We really appreciate that.
this wasn't the main event, but it was by far the most talked about thing on the show. And what we're about to talk about was followed by a really awesome Charlotte Naomi match. And I almost want to talk about it in reverse. So that's what we're going to do. Naomi interrupts a Charlotte promo. And she's like, face me. Let's fight. This match was so freaking good. Naomi was firing on all cylinders. Like, when Naomi is on, oh man, is she on. And the counters to this, like into the body press, into the Bubba Bomb, so good. So fantastic. Now, I'll tell you the one thing I didn't like about the match. Throughout it, Sonya's coming out like, oh no, babyface, you can't win by count out. And also, you cannot win by DQ. To which Naomi realistically should have went, who fucking cares?
Yeah.
Why would she have cared that much? Like, all right. So she's got a pin and some. How does that give Charlotte the benefit? They got to play by the same rules. Whatever. But this match was outstanding. Charlotte and Naomi have incredible chemistry together.
I really liked a lot of things about this match. I agree with you when Naomi is on, and she's someone who, and it's not a fault of hers by any means, when she's in the ring with someone who's as good or better as her, it makes a really big difference in the quality of her matches, I feel like. And Charlotte Flair is one of, if not the best, especially from an in-ring perspective. So many things I loved about this. I loved Pat McAfee talking about dodge, ducking, dip, diving, and dodging.
Do you know what Calvin Ball is?
I don't know what Calvin
Ball is. Calvin and Hobbs. I this isn't a super chat, but I just want to tell Ace Shock. I recognize the reference and I like it. Just changing the rules as you go along. That's what that is. But Pat McAfee exists only to pop Michael Cole at this point, and I love it.
I think it actually also makes Michael Cole a lot better, because I think it keeps him really loose. Yes. And I think he's having a lot more fun than he has in the past. Man, Naomi is so great. I really want them to put the title on her eventually again. I think they had a huge opportunity to add her to the Bloodline and have that stable versus Bianca and the Street Profits. I think that could have been very, very fun. But she's just outstanding. I am so over the Sonya stuff, man. I know it's good because it's being built out as a feud and that the bar is actually that low, but enough. And all of those little technicalities that she kept throwing in just don't really matter in a non-title match as much. Yeah. Like, it just doesn't really do anything. And Michael Cole mentioned, we don't really know why she hates her. Fucking tell us why she hates her, because it looks like racism real hard if we don't eventually find that out. I was hopeful we were going to find that out tonight because he said it.
Valab says, it's like they suddenly remember Naomi exists and is actually really good. Well, the main event of this show, of what we're talking about, is them remembering that a bunch of women do exist because they announced 19 of them for the Royal Rumble. For those asking, I did not know about this before the show. I hadn't heard a peep about it. Here are the names announced. Nikki A.S.H., Aaliyah, Natalya, the Impact Knockouts champion, Mickie James, Shayna Baszler, Summer Rae, Tamina, Dana Brooke, Kelly Kelly, Rhea Ripley, Lita, Naomi, the Bella Twins, Carmella, Queen Zelina, Michelle McCool, Shotzi, and Charlotte Flair, who entered herself in despite being champion. Now, Charlotte, unconventional, but why not? Why not? You don't have any other program for her. I don't have a problem with it. Michelle McCool, pretty regular, pretty semi-regular thing to have her pop up. Not a big deal. The one that, well, I don't want to say not a big deal, but her, Kelly Kelly, like, you know, these women are on pretty good terms with WWE at this point.
Did you mention Summer Rae?
Yes, I did.
Okay.
Summer Rae, you know that they're on good terms with WWE. Lita surprised me still a little bit because once you break your neck and you get out of wrestling for 10 years, I wonder, like, how are you going to do? Well, she's doing just fine, apparently. But the one that shocked a lot of people was Mickie James, who not only left on real bad terms at WWE, she is the Impact Knockouts champion. Now, I'm going to have a lot more on this on FightfulSelect.com this weekend. I don't think it's as forbidden doorish as everybody is implying, because as far as I know, she hasn't signed full-time with Impact. I could be wrong, but as far as I know, she hasn't. So to me, this isn't like them trading talent, so to speak. It is a freelancer accepting a booking. Still, it is awesome. I love it. Because if a freelancer had held the Impact Knockouts Championship 4, 5, 6 years ago, this ain't happening, Kate.
Correct. Yeah. And this is almost the one of the very few benefits that Impact, I think, gets out of putting their titles on people they don't sign. Normally, I think that has a tremendous downside, but this is one that's really good. Mickie James has always seemed to kind of, I think, really rise above some stuff that she's gotten mistreated a lot in her career, whether it was in storylines or the way that she left this most recent time. And to, in my opinion, she's shown a lot of grace about it, even calling them out. So what you would hope is that there are people that gave her sincere apologies. If I'm her, I'm wearing like gear that looks like a trash bag out to the ring. I think that would be hilarious. But I think, you know, if they paid her enough, which I'm guessing she got paid real hard.
She pulls the drawstring and it tightens up.
Would that be so great? And then John Cena's there doing like a hefty ad.
Oh God.
Perfect. I'm sure she got paid real well. And I'm wondering if part of it is, if you say Impact, whose title I'm holding on television, that is a very good thing for her and one of the companies she's working with. But good for Mickie James. Like, she put together that whole Empower pay-per-view for NWA. She's the Impact Knockouts champion. She's appearing on WWE television again. There is a lot of legendary things about her that I think got swept away because of the era that she was wrestling in WWE. And I think she's wildly underrated and much more legendary than people probably give credit for. So I'm very happy to see that. And I think, did the person who did that get fired from WWE anyway?
Yes.
Yeah. So that's also
the scapegoat for it.
Yeah. Yes. So, you know, whether that was sincerely a part of it, she might be mature enough, which I would not be.
Mark Carano is the one who took the blame for that.
I thought so. Okay. Yeah. And he's been let go since. So she might have been like, it was that guy's fault and he's not here anymore. So we're good.
I mean, I know a lot of people say, oh, but what about all those things you said? I say, who gives a shit? She's a grown woman. She can make her own decisions. She can do what she wants, and more power to her. Well, we have more super chats on this than anything from SmackDown since we started covering both of these shows together. So big thank you to that. Get in your Humper Chats at humperchats.com. Just head over there. If you've got a PayPal, you can plug it in right there and donate there or here on YouTube. But
on a scale of one to Hook Chats, like, are we?
Oh,
like,
no, nowhere level? Near Hook. Nowhere okay, near Hook no. Chats.
I don't think anything could be.
I'm talking like maybe a dozen here. Okay. So Chris Rain says, does this seal the deal that Deonna's winning the Impact title? tomorrow. No, I don't think it does. I think they like the buzz associated with it. But believe me when I say there will be plenty of buzz on that match tomorrow. That much I can assure you for many reasons.
Oh, yeah. And Impact Social Media had that graphic ready to go the second they announced that.
Yes. Mark Losper says, big brain Scott D'Amore pulling off. Well, I was reading that and then it just vanished on me. So going to have to track that one back down.
But maybe it's just a new gimmick. Big brain Scott D'Amore. There it that's is. It.
Yeah, it says big brain Scott D'Amore pulling off the greatest bridging play in wrestling history. Even if this is a one-time thing caused by a problem WWE created for themselves, says they trimmed their roster too much. That now says Valab above it. So I wanted to give him the proper credit for that. William says, is this what happens when Vince fires all the women? Yes. Yes, it is what happens when Vince fires all the women, unfortunately. Shot Kid says, good on Mickey, get paid and promote her killer work outside WWE. That said, all I could do was laugh at the news because it's a problem of WWE's making. It is. It is absolutely a problem of WWE's making. And Kate, when people say, well, why did they announce them beforehand? Well, this is why, because we're here talking about it right now on a Friday night show where not a lot happened. We have something to talk about, and so does the wrestling world.
My only thing with that was announce some of them, not all of them. Like, announce the ones that are going to drive eyes to the product, but I feel like so much excitement, for me at least, got deflated by this because surprise.
There's 11 more.
There's 11 more, but there's a lot of those half surprises, right? There's going to be some NXT call-ups. I think if they're doing this Alexa's Road back, she's going to be there. I think if Bayley's ready, you can almost assume she's going to be there.
But like, she'd be a surprise, and she'd be a big one too.
She would. And if she's in it, my goodness, I hope she wins the whole thing. But I think Lita
should have been a surprise.
Should have been a surprise. Like there's some that like Summer Rae's not going to drive additional eyes, I don't think. So let us just have that moment, have a face off between her and Natty because they had a feud or whatever. Like, announce some. I think you announce the Bellas. I think that's a really smart move. I don't think you announce as many as you did today. And I know there's a lot of slots left, but A, I think they're going to give us more of those on Monday. And B, the half surprises don't have the same as that, like, holy shit, I didn't even think of this person surprise.
Her Guru says, Rumble stuff is great, but announcing more than half is dumb and the people in it badly reflects how many women WWE fired. Charlotte being in it further proves they're too lazy to give champs a feud. I don't disagree with any of that. I'll just say I don't disagree with any of that, but I'm, as Cher Delaware says, they always announce more than half the Rumble entrance just because they did it all at once doesn't change anything. They don't usually announce the surprises, but I think it's good that they did announce some of the surprises because that is a completely different approach. Like, I remember when I was a little kid, I was watching like 96 Royal Rumble and they were announcing like Dory Funk Jr. And as a kid, I go, who the fuck is Dory Funk Jr.? I didn't know who it was. I had no idea. Doug Gilbert? Who's Doug Gilbert? I was interested in him though. There are some kids right now, they're going, who the hell is Summer Rae? And they're going to Google Summer Rae. They might like Summer Rae. They might expose themselves to a new audience. And as Hannah says, do it to drive some ticket sales as well.
Yeah, that makes sense. I do think it's, you know, they did it this year and there's, I think, 9 women on the SmackDown roster. So it does also have that appearance of like, of course you're announcing surprises. You don't have any women. You don't have enough women to fill the Rumble. So by default, the entire roster is probably going to be in the Rumble. Like, that's not great.
Yeah. And, yeah, I'll just say that. Nerd Guru says, happy for Mickey breaking down doors, but WWE doesn't deserve her being this nice to them. I don't disagree with that either. CM says, respect to Mickey for probably getting a bag of cash to do a one-off and make up for the trash bag. Also, get a huge promo for Impact. I kind of hope she puts somebody in a trash bag and throws them over the top rope.
Oh, that would be great. They have to acknowledge it. Why not?
Yeah, make light of it. Let her own it.
Yes.
Let her take ownership of it. Big J says, having a current Impact champion on WWE programming wasn't on my wrestling bingo card for 2022. Impact has done a really great job, like, throughout all that. And, I mean, quite frankly, who knows? Mickey might just be done with Impact after tomorrow. We don't know. Like, we're sitting here talking about Mickey as the Impact champion. Deonna Purrazzo might have three championship belts by the end of the weekend because she's facing Roxy for the AAA and ROH titles as well.
Mark Lady Belt Collector, I love it. Give her all of them. I love Deonna.
Mark Losper says, acknowledging Impact on TV and Twitter is a big move for WWE, but once again, their short-termism builds a nice moment at the cost of a significantly larger one. There were plenty of ways to build interest without blue-chewing a bunch of names. I'm okay with it. Like I said, here and there, here and there is okay. Ryan says, are there any other surprises planned? Yes, I was told there are other surprises planned.
I hope Ryan's follow-up chat is, what are they?
Yeah. And we can't, I can't tell you, but I mean, they've also got some backups that they're going to have planned as well, because you have to in this situation.
Can we also take a moment to acknowledge the Segway legend that you are, that other people are referring to blue chewing as like a verb now? Like, credit where it's due, Sean Ross.
We've got Matthew saying, the biggest surprise of the night for me is WWE putting Impact on TV the night before Hard to Kill. Pleasantly surprised, but so unlike them. Why? They got Mickey James. They worked themselves into a shoot. They got Mickey James. But just like AEW, they didn't promote Impact's pay-per-view. That's for damn sure. Because you can't do that. You can use all the Impact talent that you want. But by God, AEW and WWE will never put over one of those pay-per-views ever. Cher Delaware says, feels like WWE saw AEW in their partnership with Impact and pulled a Stewart and said, look what I can do, but I'm still stoked to see Mickey. Nice to see someone using the Impact Knockouts division. Yeah, AEW should have. They really should have.
That was the thing I was most excited about when the Forbidden Door opened. I was like, at that point, the women's division was not as healthy as it is now in AEW. And I thought, what an incredible way to take what I consider the best women's roster in wrestling and to help out this division, and they did nothing.
yep. So we've got some stupid punk saying Humper Chats won't work, but I imagine if Joe goes to Impact and Impact ends up having Joe go back to wrestle in WWE, I die from pure irony. I would imagine that Joe is probably gonna just not do that anymore. That's what I would think. Shot Kid says, if they need women, NXT UK is right there. But then again, Vince will then know it exists and kill it, or worse, change it to NXT UK 2.0. That is easier said than done. Getting people over here, over there, all that. Easier said than done. And you know what? Go ahead. Sorry.
Oh, I was just going to say, I think the fact that Walter was on NXT is like, hey, he's in the country, right? And you also have women that are on NXT 2.0 right now that would be great additions to that match. I think Raquel's an obvious one with her strength and size. Dakota Kai's incredible. I think you could have some really fun moments that happen there. So I don't think you even need to reach across the pond. And you have Kaylee Ray, who I think was one of their strongholds, now working in the U.S. as well. So that would be tricky, but I cut you off. You were gonna segue us.
I was gonna ask you. You know, well, I was gonna do something completely different, but now I'll just ask you. What's Walter known for?
Chops.
Yeah. Sometimes you gotta chop some things down, Kate. Sometimes your dirty, disgusting pubes get a little too bushy, and you gotta chop them down. But you know what you don't want to do? You don't want to leave your balls and dong looking like somebody's chest after Walter just chops them down. Manscaped.com, code Fightful. Make sure that you're taken care of. They've got that advanced skin safe technology on their fourth generation trimmer. It's got a cutting edge ceramic blade to reduce grooming accidents. It's even waterproof. You can use that 4.0 to leave 2021 and your gross pubes with it. You can also smell like $1 million with all those great formulations. Refined cologne. They've even got like foot deodorant, for the love of God. They got body wash. Ultra premium body wash. Manscaped just stepped out of just the trimming game and they're like, you know what? Anything in the bathroom, we've got you covered. Manscaped.com, code Fightful. You're going to smell like a new man. And you know what? Not only do you not want to look like somebody who just got chopped by Walter, you don't want to smell like one either. You don't want to, just gross, man. Their body wash is infused with aloe vera and sea salt to keep your skin feeling nice and moisturized. And that's important. Use the code FIGHTFUL for 20% off plus free shipping at manscaped.com. Over 4 million men already trust Manscaped. Now it's time to join them. 20% off plus free shipping at manscaped.com. Use that code FIGHTFUL. Again, don't let your penis and testicle ball sack
Your
testicular ball sack, I believe is the medical term, look like Walter just gave it the...
You don't have the balls.
Leave us a humper chat. Leave us a super chat. We would greatly appreciate it. Make Yourself says, wouldn't mind Walter chopping the Miz at the Rumble. Well, there you go. There you go. And then we've got Nerd Guru saying, oh, well... Sorry, I jumped the gun on that one. It was Ryan Martins that said, something tells me this Mickey thing is a make good on WWE's part for the trash bag incident. I know Mickey said Vince called her to apologize. WWE called a lot of people to apologize over stuff like that and how some of those were handled. So I don't want people to get the, oh, I've got the Kate Hensler TK Trinidad overlay up. Look at that.
Again, you could do worse than calling me Denise or TK.
Yeah. Yeah, my bangs are so much better than yours, though. I'm just saying. Your mic's rubbing again. I swear to God.
Good. You know what? Good. God. You say things like that,
oh,
you deserve.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, every time.
Good. You're going to call me the wrong name. You're going to put the wrong overlay on. You demoted me. I was Jeremy Lambert a few weeks ago, and now I don't even technically work for you.
Jeff says, first time catching a live edition. I listen to the replays at work and you all make the day bearable. Love that, Danhausen. Yeah, guys, we are available on podcast platforms everywhere. I don't promote this a lot, but you can just go to FightfulPods.com. Any show we have, you can find. Please leave us a nice review on Spotify, on Stitcher, on Apple. All that stuff really helps because, quite frankly, like 80, 90% of our audience comes from YouTube and sometimes Twitter. So the more of you that leave reviews there, the quicker our show will grow.
Leave review houses. Leave very nice ones, not very evil ones.
Fear TG says, I really hope I'm wrong, but I have a bad feeling Mickey will get a quick Santino or Warlord-esque elimination. WWE would get buried so miserably bad for that, Kate.
Yeah, but like... they don't care. I don't think they'll do that. I think they try to avoid doing stuff like that with people that are legends, and they might do something. Lita's in there. I could see Trish Stratus being a surprise or something like that too. Like they might do some fun spots with those things.
Mark says, we know Alex is a trained actor. Apparently Kate is as well, based on this ad read. Well, you know what? Maybe I wouldn't have to do so many ad reads if you all would subscribe to FightfulSelect.com. I would greatly appreciate if you all did that. Today, the newest episode of Coexisting with Rob and Maggie dropped, but it wasn't Maggie. She was out sick, so Drew filled in. Over a show a day, we've got like 8 or 9 weekly shows at this point. But a taste of the news that we break over there. We had SmackDown plans for tonight. This weekend, I'll have Raw and SmackDown producers. I had a rumor killer on the Becky Lynch, the man trademark. We had a bunch on Kairi Sane leaving WWE. A bunch of big names for the Qatar Pro Wrestling shows. Broke some news about why Samoa Joe's release happened. And I mean, that is a hefty story. We have a ton of news on a lot of the releases from NXT and WWE. I dropped a Q&A show. We broke the news of Petey Williams coming on to WWE full-time backstage. We had Raw plans ahead of the show as well. We broke news that Jeff Hardy was supposed to be the NXT shaman that Riddle is now. Like, it's so wild. We have exclusive news up there every single day. Please subscribe, FightfulSelect.com.
It's not my job to read super chats or chats that aren't super chats, but I just want to thank Emily Cease for defending me in the chat. So I'm not going to read it specifically because I do my job.
I might time her out if I could find her.
Justice for Kate. The bullying is insane, Jonathan, she said. Thank you, Emily.
There we go. Timed out. Bam. Ryan Martin says, do you think there's a good chance Toni Storm returns to WWE, or is she done for good? Her departure was bizarre and no one really knows what caused it. I'll find out. But I don't think for now. I think for a while under this regime, I think that's probably gone and passed, but not gone and passed. This episode of Rampage, we still got plenty to talk about. Unfortunately, we're going to be talking about Jake Atlas's injury, which might not be as bad as it looks. Let me see.
I did want to point out that once again, I was there.
Oh, okay. You were there. But what I hear is Jake might have dodged a bullet waiting for his doctor to send Jake and Doc Sampson the MRI results. That would be great if he didn't get hurt. So I wasn't there, Kate. And the whole match, I'm sitting there going, when did it happen? When did it happen? Then you see when it happens. It was ahead of the Panama Sunrise. And to cover up the injury or cover up this spot, Adam Cole put on the most half-hearted heel hook leg lock that I've ever seen. I love how commentary covered for it. They're like, Red Dragon already rubbing off on him again. Like, cause that's what they do. This match was awesome. This match was so good. And when Jake Atlas is outside the auspices of NXT, you realize how big he is too. Like, his weight goes on people like a bowling ball. Like, he is like 230 pounds and every pound of it is going into Adam Cole. I just love this. They would throw each other up into midair and just crack each other over their knees. And unfortunately, Jake's gave out, but I love this match.
Yeah, so being there live, the injury to Phoenix happened, and then they started AEW Rampage, and then this injury happened. It was a real rough half hour or so there. I really liked this match. Jake Atlas looks like he also put on a ton of mass since his NXT and definitely his indie days. Loved a lot of what happened in the ring. Loved a lot of, there was a really great brainbuster counter that Adam Cole had in this. I really thought he did a really good job of covering because yes. I don't know if it was immediately obvious to him too, because it was just a springboard that hit funny. Like, it wasn't anything super like high level difficulty, right? Like, I think it was just that. So to realize he couldn't get him up for the Panama Sunrise and then to go home with the knee bar, which A, is something Red Dragon specific, as you pointed out, and B, oh, this guy hurt his knee. He shoot hurt his knee, so he's not going to really lock it in that hard, but that's something logically a heel would do, right? You have a weakness, let me capitalize. I thought it was great. A really rough way to end what was a great in-ring debut for Jake Atlas. Also, got to give credit to the sparkle gear. It just looked really, really cool. And under the live lights, it shines so pretty. It was really nice, but a great opener. And then after the match, watching him walk up the ramp with two, not indie jobber doctors, like actual medical staff.
Yeah.
He was just putting absolutely no weight on it. So that it's good to hear it might not be that bad, because I looked at that and was like, that's 9 months to a year of his career.
That was the fear. And he was on crutches or a walker or something. He was using some aid after the show. Adam Cole is now 7-0 in singles action. And we're talking like against like Kazarian, Jungle Boy, John Silver, Orange Cassidy, Jake Atlas, some good names here. Man, they're pushing him along really, really well. And this is one of those times where people knew Jake Atlas wasn't going to win, but God damn, did he look good in defeat. He looked really great in defeat. And you see why AEW wanted him in 2019. He picked NXT. And what I like is it was like, you know what? No harm, no foul. You wanted to take another route. We're not going to hold that against you. We're not going to be petty over that. Come on in. We still got a spot for you because you're good. And that's what I like.
He's still a star. I think he adds something different and new to the mid-card as well as far as what he does in the ring. He really lays shit in. Like, I really appreciate that about him. And the first match I ever saw was him versus Tony Deppen in GCW, and I was just blown away by his versatility. He's a very, very skilled professional.
Chris Rain says, wow, that was an amazing match between Cole and Atlas. Interesting that Adam is number one ranked now. It sure is. And you know what? Hangman Page versus Adam Cole would be very big. And you know what? I would love that match to kind of end with a returning Kenny Omega. And it's like, oh, gee, which one is he coming to screw over? Ooh, and it just hit me. It just hit me. They plant these little things that I don't even think about. My God. DeLeo says, Cole is so consistently good, I can't remember a bad match he's had recently. He is a hell of a talent, man, and perpetually over.
I was just going to point out something that Joe Hulbert said that I have been echoing because it's such a good point, too. This is the first time he's ever really worked arenas because he was in NXT, right? So he was just a performance center performer. And he does not for a second by this looks like he's been phased by a single part of what he's doing. So, so great in the ring and such a presence. And as far as Cole and Paige go, I had that thought too about Omega, because what's great about that is he can come back and it doesn't have to be in an in-ring capacity. It could be just to fuck with the storyline if his body still needs time to heal.
Yes. Yes. Nerd Guru says Adam Cole's entrance live remains undefeated. It is one of the most fun experiences. It is so good.
It's so over, but when I tell you Hook was more over.
Yeah. Oh, we'll talk about it in a moment. Get in your super chats and your humper chats, guys. I would greatly appreciate it. Hannah M says, good on Jake looking so huge next to the 6 foot king, Adam Cole. And R26 says, hopefully Jake ends up being okay. He and Gigi Dolan had my favorite indie match ever for Rise in 2019.
That was a good match.
Tony P says, sad about Regal and Joe losing their jobs, wishing the best. But on a brighter note, can we get a Joe MJF callback or moment or feud because of NXT? Regal can announce blood and guts when the UE possibly faces the Elite or any other participants. I saw somebody say it sounds better when he goes the match beyond. Like, I think that's the thing that Regal says, even as a cameo. But yeah, Joe MJF has to happen in the future for that reason. I did a full show about Samoa Joe. That is such a bummer, but we got a bunch on Fightful Select about it.
Yeah, there's so many feuds logically that line up in AEW, the history between him and Punk, having Danielson there, having MJF there. But one thing that one of my Mark Order co-hosts said when we were there live was, even if he just wanted to do commentary, because I thought he was outstanding at commentary when he was in WWE, him and Taz on the same commentary panel would be fantastic. So he's so versatile and he has such a great mind for this that even if it was part-time in the ring or he just wanted to call it quits, I think his mind in AEW would be such a wonderful asset. I love Samoa Joe. And Samoa Joe walkaway spot is one of the best things to happen in wrestling.
There are a lot of people that point to like Bret Hart versus Kurt Angle as a match that didn't happen and couldn't have happened because they just missed each other. Taz and Samoa Joe is mine. Like I loved Samoa Joe and I would want to watch Taz dump him on his head repeatedly because I'll talk more about Taz momentarily. Nerd Guru says, imagine Punk goes after Cody for the TNT title. The matches and promos are great to solidify the heel turn that hits Punk. Oh, and it's to solidify the heel turn. He hits Punk with a pedigree of all people. I think Cody would probably be heel by then, but maybe not. Maybe that's really what nails it down. But Cody ain't wrestling tomorrow, Kate. Dustin is. Cody is out, COVID precautions. But Dustin Rhodes is going to fill in. They're doing an interim TNT title. This is something that they do in MMA, specifically the UFC, all the time. Like way too much. I don't mind it, but to me, it's like he's out with COVID. Like he didn't tear his knee apart. He'll be back in like a week or two.
Yeah, this certainly raised my eye on maybe my eyebrow, not my entire eye. It certainly raised my eye on how this might be booked tomorrow. If the plan was to give Sammy the title back, or if it wasn't, that could be a really cool thing now, because then you would have Cody with the real belt and Sammy with the interim one. A lot of interesting angles there. I'm not like super stoked for the match, but Dustin does surprise me whenever he's in the ring, what he can do at his age. I just Battle of the Belts, I was like, yeah, special. And I'm kind of like, all right, Like, I'm not super excited for this card right now.
We have ShotKid29 saying, I know reaction has been mixed, but I like the idea of an interim champ, familiar trope for MMA boxing fans that can play further into Cody's heel turn. Yeah, but if that's the case, I think Dustin should win. I think he should win it, and Cody should be like snarky to Dustin about it. Like, come on.
I think that
would
cool.
be a good approach.
I kind of just wish they had set up like Scorpio Sky and Sammy or something. For a contendership, or so I know it's Battle of the Belts, but like shit happens. So I just would have rather seen something closer to that idea.
So we get a Ethan Page, Scorpio Sky promo. We've said about all we can about Dan Lambert and his annoying promos, but Sky and Page cut really good promos. And Sky mentioned how long it's been since he's been beaten. I do admire that Dan Lambert is just like, I'm going to get that goddamn TNT title. Come hell or high water, I'm after that title. What did you think of the promos?
I thought the promos were good. My biggest complaint about Lambert hasn't even been what he was doing up until the whore comment. But before that, it was more just that he was being used by two guys who are fantastic promos and can speak for themselves. That just bummed me out because I want to hear those two guys talk. So I thought this was great. It was short. It was sweet. It said what it needed to say. It kept things moving. That's one thing I like about Rampage is these promos are generally like, bang, bang, set it. I'm in and out. Let's go.
Mark Losper says, I love Dustin, but this change is perplexing. AEW has been making a few weird moves of late. I don't think it's that perplexing that they're doing Dustin in place of Cody. I don't think so. Jeff Grayton says, riffing off of Nerd Guru's chat, who turns heel first, Cody or Punk? Also, which recently released women's superstar comes back for the Rumble, aside from Mickey. Oh, gosh, I don't know. I don't know. Any thoughts on that one? Because in my head, like, I just can't think like who the hell's been released lately. I'm sure they would love to bring in the Iconics if they could.
Yeah, I think it's a little trickier because it's Mickey was of a different generation, and she's someone that they would probably let go if they didn't like let her contract expire. If they weren't going to do anything with her creatively in the future. I don't know if anybody else that they let go has kind of like that legendary status that would pop anybody coming back.
Yeah.
Yeah. I can't Isaiah, think of
Isaiah says, were all the EVPs missing from Dynamite this week? Yeah. None of them were on the show.
Yeah.
None of them were on the show.
Oh, and I think Andrade turns heel first, by the way, to the other part of that super chat.
Yeah,
I think that, I do that too. With Cole being number one contender, now Punk's is going to be a face a little bit longer.
Andrade does an interview. He's trying to buy off Darby Allin, but he's like, why does this little kid work for Sting? And Dylan Bishop says, I love that Andrade's character doesn't understand the concept of having friends and think that people only help others if they're getting paid. I love that because rich people are often detached from reality. That's just the way that it happens a lot. I love this. Love this.
I loved this. And I love in general that they're letting Andrade speak for himself. Because it's never, the language barrier is never so heavy that you can't understand what the point of the promo is. It's great. I think Shivani helps him a lot as well. He was great on this as well. And I love this idea that he just wants to throw money at everything that could possibly come his way, because that's how he buys people's love. And in this case, he's trying to buy a person in Darby Allin. I think it's so much fun. And it's nice just to see them seem to have at least a direction with Andrade now, because he is just so effortlessly freaking cool.
We had a promo recapping TJ, Bunny, and Penelope. I like this. We also get Ricky Starks announcing he's going to defend the FTW title. About time. It's going to be against Matt Sydal. And he says, well, this is for you, Dante, because I know that Matt Sydal has been very influential on you. And I'm going to make an example out of him. I liked both of these segments. Simple, effective. You remind people, hey, by the way, something really historic last week happened. And tomorrow, hopefully something historic happens as well.
Yes, I liked this a lot. I also, in general, liked Jericho's return to commentary. I felt like he was much less yelly and added a lot of value today. But yeah, and it's nice when they use guest commentary spots to do something like advance the storyline of that wrestler. And I want Ricky Starks in the ring. He is my breakout guy for 2022. I think he's going to have a monster year and is a wildly skilled wrestler. So nice to see, even though he was like medically cleared that we knew of, he definitely wasn't in the ring that much. So hopefully this means he is like full on good to go. And I am looking forward to him versus Seidel, because Seidel's just given some great matches in this run.
William Tucker says, where's Asuka? Why doesn't AEW use Archer or Cage? Archer's hurt. Cage is off TV. Asuka is hurt. That's about all the info I have on either one of those.
Oh, I thought nobody was ready for her.
Yeah. Professor says, bring in Sable. Biggest pop ever. I think that she could be. She has not wrestled in 2 decades. So
she would be came out with handprint boobs.
Oh gosh. Well, I think she'd probably do something else, but she hasn't wrestled since 2004. And really, she barely wrestled then. So she hasn't really wrestled much since 99. So I would be shocked, but that would be an incredible pop as well. Jeff says Dustin versus Sammy tomorrow. Dustin wins, becomes interim champ. Cody versus Dustin too. Talk amongst yourselves. that's what I want. That's what I want to happen. I think Cody versus Dustin too really helps accelerate that heel persona.
I think that could be great. I kind of wanted the two of them to face off in a Dustin retirement match, but you could also do that as a third. That would be awesome. But that seems like very logical booking from here out. I just hope that Sammy gets a little bit more of a win-focused trajectory for a little bit after that.
Mark Losper says, rich people being detached from reality. Can't think of anybody else at AEW this statement could apply to based on current events. Derek Gordon says, hear me out. Sammy wins the interim title but has no belt. -1 gives him Brody's TNT title. Cody wins the rematch, takes Brody's belt instead of the new one, and says that's his belt. Derek, I love you. There ain't no fucking way that's happening. I don't think they'll use Brody's death and even that in a storyline. I just don't think that happened. That is Brody's belt. And that company is very serious about that.
You're going to do that, I think you got to do that with someone from Dark Order. Like, I don't think they ever will, but it's got to be in that vein, I think.
Well, I know you're turning heel on me because your connection sucks again. R26 says, whatever Kairi does, she should leave WWE. I'll support, but damn, I'd love to see her versus Utami or Siri. I'm a big Siri Kondo fan, so I'd watch Siri face anybody. Brielle says, if WWE smart catches off guard with an unexpected winner of the Women's Rumble. Yeah. I mean, I don't think it'll be that. I don't think it'll be that. But we did see Riho and Ruby Soho against Jamie Hayter and Britt Baker. I love Britt Baker's aggression, the way that she wrestles, and just like the disdain she wrestles with. Now, this was to set up tomorrow's match, and I got a couple problems with it. One, I hate the roll-up pin, and I hate the roll-up pin even more when Riho is jumping up and down while she does it, because... Wow, now people are saying that my connection is rough.
I thought it was you.
I don't think so, guys. But anyway, I hate the roll-up pin, and I hate it when Riho is jumping up and down on the top of it, because you're taking your weight off the person's hips and shoulders while you do it. Also, if they're going to keep mentioning, oh my gosh, she pinned Jamie Hayter, so she beat Britt Baker. Britt has won 2 tag matches against Riho. Drove me nuts. Nerd Guru says, Kate can attest, Jamie Hayter is so over live.
Yeah, and she's just like one of the prettiest people I've ever seen in the world live, so that definitely doesn't hurt, because like it's like slow motion happens when she comes out. I swear to God, she's so gorgeous. This match, even live, was a little bit tricky. I think people didn't love the finish. I think people are ready for Thunder Rosa and Britt. I think they're ready for that payoff. Yeah. I think Mercedes versus Rosa is going to be awesome, but I think they're ready for that. I did like Britt. Britt seems genuinely pissed off that she just can't pin Riho. Like, I love that, because that's the story here. But Riho's just, she's not for me. She does some really clever stuff in the ring, but there's a lot of issues I have with the way that she uses her lack of weight. I think you see smaller women execute a little bit better than her. I think Roxy and Willow did a great job of that in a sloppier match, but psychologically a smart match at ROH. I think Sasha Banks is one of the best smaller wrestlers out there. Yes. So just not my favorite, but a good enough match. Ruby Soho also pulling double duty on Wednesday night while this taping was happening. And just kind of like some ring styles that felt a little bit clunky, at least was the experience live. And I didn't love the booking. I didn't love the ending, but I do appreciate that Britt is doing her best to tell these stories the way she can.
So, solid build for that, but it was just that pin. Oh, it drove me nuts. It drove me nuts. We had Hook versus Solo. Holy crap. Hook is over. Tell me what it was like there.
So when I was messaging people, I tried to stay off my phone for most of this, but I did message a couple people. And when they announced Hook was on Rampage, the place came unglued. Like Adam Cole, CM Punk, Bryan Danielson level unglued reaction to the announcement that he was going to be on Rampage. Yes. His entrance is so great. He really does have quite a presence, and he's just very good at this already. But just continues to be very, very over. And like you said, he was like meme over. He was just eating his chips in his hoodie, and holy crap, has he turned the page on that very, very quickly.
I love a good capture suplex. I'm a dork for suplexes. I love them. And Hook did a great one. And different submissions than what we see in general. And if you're going to get some offense in on him, I'm glad that it was QT, the veteran, grabbing the leg. And Taz is like, man, oldest trick in the book. That's the experience thing. And Ricky saying, yeah, but now he's never going to fall for that again. And he shouldn't. He should be like, he learns everything on the fly. He should never get caught with this again. In fact, I think whenever he faces QT, Aaron Solo should go for this, and Hook should like kind of dodge it and just stomp his hand, like something like that. Like that way he adapts, because we're definitely getting him and QT Marshall. Because after that, QT took a beautiful head and arm suplex and took it magnificently. I thought everybody killed it here, from commentary, from Ricky and Taz on commentary, to QT outside and then inside the ring, to Aaron Solo, to Hook. I thought everybody rocked this.
Yes, agreed. Commentary added a lot when I got to watch it back tonight. And it's just fun having the connection of someone's dad being on commentary for their matches. It's a really, it seems very sincere with Taz. Like, I think he's very genuinely very proud of him. But I loved this, and I think they're really raising him right. Like, his debut match was with Fuego, who sold the hell out of everything he was doing for him. Having a match against a guy as big as, I think it was Bear Bronson. I get my Bears confused sometime. Bear Bronson, you know, he showed a completely different way of approaching a match. I thought it was so good. And then here with Aaron Solo, really solid. And then if you're going to have him face someone as experienced as QT and maybe what'll be like a little bit longer match, it just seems like a very, very smart approach. And they're not hot-shotting him of like, he's going for the TNT title on Battle of the Belts because Cody's out or anything. So it's refreshing to see that. And it'll let the story of Hook unfold without having to necessarily build a feud until he's super ready for that. And that I really like.
Well, I like what James Zimmerman says. He says, Hook will be FTW champ by the end of the year at the latest. The guy's on fire. I think that's what you do. Eventually, Ricky gets jealous that all the attention is on him. Chris says, can you get the scoop on Hook's high top Air One shoes, boot hybrids? Never seen anything like them. Buddy, you guarantee I will. I'll get the scoop on that.
It's not Shot like you have your own sneaker deal.
Until the fantasy football league I'm a part of with the person who made those shoes pays me for winning the championship like they should. No plugs.
I take it back.
Pay me. ShotKid29 says, man. Hook got the people of New Jersey to finally admit what they are. And Miguel says, surprise Joker or not, do you think AEW will push Hook to win the Casino Battle Royal at Double or Nothing? No, I don't think. In fact, I think that might be where his first vulnerability is shown, and maybe he gets eliminated from that. 69 names Deegan.
Get all the Masterforce outdoor power equipment you need to maintain your yard at Menards. Own the outdoors with Masterforce 80-volt power equipment, delivering all the power of gas without the maintenance. The entire 80-volt line is powered by brushless motors for ultimate performance and productivity. From lawnmowers to leaf blowers, string trimmers, and more, find everything you need to create the lawn of your dreams with Masterforce power equipment at Menards. Save big money at
Menards. Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HourEnergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HourEnergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Says Hook is the greatest thing ever. I've never seen someone get out of a lockup like that. He's so smooth and cool. Am I swooning? I think I am. Send Hook. That is a part of it. Like, he does things and he moves in a way that most people don't, Kate.
I can't get over how smooth he is. That's like the perfect thing that I feel like since his debut has just blown me away is how smooth he is in the ring. He's great.
Irene says, who becomes Hook's first real feud? He's a heel despite being cheered. So what babyface do you put against him? I don't. He is a babyface. He's not. I don't know why anybody says he's a heel. What? Because he's in a heel stable. Throw that out the window. Throw all that conventional bullshit out the window. It's different. I appreciate you, Irene. I think he's a babyface. I don't think he is a babyface. He got like the opponents cheated him tonight and he went and beat him up. He is a babyface, Irene.
I think maybe what they're setting up is something eventually we'll go through him in the factory. Maybe we see him in Camarado, if a go-go's back, whatever. I think his first like one-on-one feud will be Ricky Starks for that title. But I think he's going to chew through people until we get there.
Ricky Starks. Wrestling Riggle says, early Rumble prediction. Hook is sent and joined Paul Heyman's love triangle and creates a new faction called All That and a Bag of Chips. Could you imagine? Mark Losper says Riho's pin looked rubbish. Certain segments of wrestling unquote media are gonna have a field day with that. Who gives a shit? Those people are irrelevant. 69 names Deegan says the funniest thing is when QT tried to square up to Hook and all the front row were like, no, he's gonna kill you. And she says she's a proud hooker. Well, I've always known you were. But yes, I agree. QT, like you, as soon as he hit that ring, Kate, you had to know, that's bad. Bad news for QT.
Yes, and I've really grown to love QT through the past like 6 months or so of programming. His value has been very, very evident. I feel like since the factory situation really broke away, yeah. He's you could tell his experience and why he's there. He's been great.
After the Codyverse thing ended, I've enjoyed the stuff he's done, and this is a great place to use him as well.
Yes.
Well, we were going to have the pre-match interview with Mark Henry, but then 2.0 and Garcia, Santana and Ortiz, and Eddie Kingston all just brawl out to the ring. They have this big war. Suck my ass, pull the tights was a line. But I love that Mark Henry still got in his main event line. And I love that it's still over. What did you think of this match?
Okay, so a few things. You guys know I'm an Eddie Kingston mark to the fullest. Him just walking out of the interview when 2.0 was like, we're going to talk to you, and started cutting this promo, and he just walked away to go find them backstage. It was so fun to break the format of the presentation, and I loved Mark Henry also saying, like, looks like the fight's already started, instead of being like, it's time for your main event. Just really fun to mess with the actual format of it. this was more fun to watch on TV than it was live, because the spots were just so everywhere, as is common in a Street Fighter or no DQ. Some of those trash can spots looked nasty. I really liked commentary pointing out that once a trash can is dented, it's actually more effective because you can cut people with it. I thought that was a really, really nice touch and a good additional information to have. It was nice to see Eddie Kingston and team get a win. I am a huge Proud and Powerful fan as well. If they are going to do trios titles, I would love to see Eddie with them, going after them or being your inaugural champs, but just really fun to see them reformed, because I think they work so well together. And live, he also did the, like, we're going home post-show speech part of it. Talked about what New York and New Jersey meant to him. He kind of shit on Chicago, which was really fun. He was like, those places are great. Yeah, yeah, yeah. But nowhere's like here. So really fun match. A little messy, but it was supposed to be. So I'll take it.
Yeah. I'm ready for these three to move on from Daniel Garcia in 2.0. I'm okay if Jericho gets a match against them, because that's what's going to happen. Jericho does make the ring or get to the ring. They had taped Eddie to the ropes, which I love that. I love that. And it's worth mentioning earlier, the Usos taped the New Day to the ropes too. And Pat McAfee's like, we've all been there. And Michael Cole's like, what? Well, like, he legitimately popped Michael Cole, which I thought was just amazing. I really, really dug that. So a couple of tape spots as well. But then Jericho is out there to make the save, maybe a little bit sooner this time. But I can't wait to see Jericho and Eddie Kingston. And I want to see Eddie Kingston, like, inspire Jericho to get away from the pinhead, blockhead type of thing. And, like, do something grating. Do something that cuts to the core of Eddie Kingston. That's what I want.
Yeah, I think something with a little more juice in it would be really good for Jericho. I don't know if he's face or heel, because Eddie is just there to kick everybody's asses. And I think we are setting up Jericho and Eddie Kingston. Eddie Kingston does him, partner. That's all. So I'm very, very excited to see where that goes. And Kingston's just one of my favorites on the mic. I hope he can pull that out of Jericho, because I'm ready for that too.
Guys, please leave a thumbs up on this video. Mark Losper wraps us up with Humper Chat and says, QT is vastly underrated. Must be a hell of a trainer given a lot of the talent they're turning out. He is an excellent trainer. Spent a lot of time at the Monster Factory as well. It's a great place to be. But FightfulSelect.com is a great place to be, guys. We gave away our next Fightful magazine over there, which you can get at FightfulMag.com, but we gave away the digital edition. So make sure you check that out. FightfulMag.com. Dan Housen is the cover story. EC3, Nate Marquardt both wrote for the magazine. Nate Marquardt, a former UFC title challenger. Check it out. FightfulMag.com. Don't forget, on Saturday, noon, Grapsity, 9 p.m. Eastern, Battle of the Belts review. 11 p.m. Eastern, we've got the Hard to Kill review. Jamin Cito Gomez says, heard Ciampa and Dunn had a dark match at SmackDown. Wonder if these NXT guys are getting any reaction during Raw SmackDown. I mean, yeah, generally, Kyle and Johnny did a few months ago, but I would be surprised if Ciampa ever went to the main roster for an extended period of time. I would be shocked. But tell the people where they can find you, Kate.
Well, you can find me at Kate on Deck IC, because I'm not Jeremy Lambert or TK Trinidad. I'm Kate Hensler. You can also find me on Wednesdays on the Mark Order Podcast at Mark Order Pod, where we talk all things All Elite, and Fridays back here with Shalom Ross Sapp, talking AEW Rampage and SmackDown. So check those out.
Guys, thank you all so much. We're back here for three shows tomorrow. Until next time, we're out.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99 cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.